you to get focused, that you're the reason for everything that we do. Come into this place, Holy Spirit, and set upon us in a mighty way. Let the fire of your Spirit fill our hearts again today. Bring healing today, Father. For it's in you that we have hope. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. And we give you praise for that today, Jesus. As we worship you in this place today, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Isaiah tells us in 56 chapter 7, I will make you joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And I'm so thankful that we're known as a church that prays, that we are known as a church that prays and believes God and just trusts his word as to whatever it says. And prayer is simply coming into agreement with what God is already wanting to do. And he's just looking for that somebody that's saying, okay, God, you said this, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe big. You know, prayer is what releases heaven and the earth. Prayer is what releases heaven on the earth. There was a man in the Bible that prayed, and when he prayed, he didn't pray little prayers, but he prayed God-sized miracle prayers. And he prayed boldly, and his name was Elijah. Elijah prayed boldly. He didn't mess around with the small things. He went straight for it because he believed in a God that could do the impossible. Amen. And he went straight to the big things. He prayed for a drought in the land, and it didn't rain. He raised the widow's son from the dead. He called down fire from heaven to consume the offering. Prayed for rain, and it rained. Amen. Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink. He said, I hear a mighty rain coming. And you know, we have to hear it. We have to believe it. We have to see it as we are praying. I don't wait for the manifestation to happen before I believe it. Because I found out in his word, if I find in his word, I start believing right then. I start praying. Well, you know, somebody says, how much should you pray? It's lack of faith if you pray more than once. I don't agree with that. When I keep praying, he keeps my faith stirred up. He keeps me reminding God. I've said, Lord, I'm still believing for this, and I haven't seen it yet. So don't give up praying. If you prayed once and you haven't seen it, you go back and you pray it again. It's not a lack of faith. It's saying, God, this hasn't happened, and I'm still believing. Amen. Hallelujah. So the servant said to him, Ahab went to eat and drink. Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. In other words, Elijah got humble before God. He submitted to the authority of God. And as I think I said one time before, you may remember that word submission, that word submit, comes from the word submarine. And a submarine only functions to the capacity that it was created for when it's underwater. Amen. And when you pray in the function and the capacity that God has called you to and anointed you to when you come under his submission. When you come under the authority of his word. Amen. Then you are operating in the capacity and the degree that God says that you can in the earth. Then he said, go and look toward the sea. So Ahab said, this is what's going to happen. He submitted himself to God, and he began to pray, and then he began to look for the manifestation of what he was praying for. You need to look and say, it's coming. I don't see it yet. I don't even see a sign of it yet. Everything else is saying no. Everything else is speaking contrary to it. But I prayed, and I believed. Woo. And the servant said, turned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. And we've all got those well-meaning people around us when we're praying and believing. And we began to say, you know, this is what I believe. And the people said, well, I don't see anything yet. You know, you don't let your heart out just to anybody. You have to use some wisdom. Amen. So Elijah said, I don't see anything, the servant said. So Elijah said, go and look again. So seven times. And I like that word seven because seven means the foundation of God's word. Amen. Foundation means seven means the foundation of God's word. And it also means complete. So if it takes you seven times to pray, when it happens, it's happened and it's completed then. The manifestation has happened. So finally, the seventh time, he said, I saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. So at first, you may not see but one drop of rain. Amen? But it's coming. That word is for somebody right now. It's coming. You have prayed and you have believed and you have wept many tears. But God says it's coming. Amen. And oh my goodness. I just hear the Lord said, you need to throw that box of Kleenexes away and quit crying about it. And you need to start praising. You need to start praising Him now. You need to move from the mode of prayer to praise. You need to move from the mode of prayer to praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vivian, that word was for you right then. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I felt a shift. I felt a shift, church. I felt a shift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have prayed and prayed and prayed. God says shift to praise now. Shift to praise now. You may be saying, but that was Elijah. That was a prophet in the Bible. That was the folks in the Bible. But that's not what James 5:17 tells me. He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. He prayed as a man on fire. In other words, he took a hold of what God told him was his, and he didn't let go, no matter what. He prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years, 6 months, and it didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And the thing I want you to say was Elijah was a human like we are. Amen. It doesn't take a perfect person to pray. It just takes a child of God saying, Lord, I believe what you said. I believe what you said, Lord. So don't quit believing. Don't quit praying. I believe the manifestation is nearer than you know. And so it's time to shift from prayer to praise. You know, we sang the song here. Is it true today when people pray, cloudless skies will break. Kings and queens will shake. It's true, and I believe it because we're living for you. Is it true today that when people pray, we'll see dead men raised? The blind set free? And you know, that's just not physically. And I believe God can raise those that have died. But there's a whole lot of people dead in trespasses and sins. There's a whole lot of Christians dead spiritually, not because they don't have it in them, because they don't believe they have it in them, and they don't know how to activate what's already been put in them. And the blind set free. It's true, and we believe it. It's true today that when people stand with the fire of God and the truth in hand, we'll see miracles, we'll see angels sing, we'll see broken hearts making history. It's true, and we believe it. Can I get an amen in the house today? That prayer changes things. The power of prayer is in the power of God who hears and answers prayer. Amen. We're just called to believe. Prayer will change things to what is, to what can be, and whatever you're praying for, there's more. Whatever you're praying for at this moment, whatever you're believing for at this moment, there's more. Because the Bible tells us, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now I like that word abundantly. That abundantly word will put some fire in you. It means superabundant, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient. We're not believing big enough. We're not praying big enough. We're not praising big enough. Amen. So he says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know what activates power? Prayer and praise. Because the power is already in you. The word is already in you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's begin to activate that power that is within us. And we're going to pray again, and then we're going to praise. Amen. Father, we just thank you again that you have come into this place to show us some things this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just heard this week, just because everybody's doing it, don't make it right. You live according to the truth of the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we're going to enter a time of praise. We're moving from prayer to praise right now. And we're going to see doors open. We're going to see dead men raised. We're going to see blinded eyes see. We're going to see salvation of souls. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen.
It's interesting. This is the first song that I think that I ever learned, that I went to a meeting and they were raising their hands, and I thought, what are they doing? You all know this. This is the day. Come on.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
I don't know if you all were here that Sunday night years ago. Richard Pierce was leading praise and worship. We were doing, it was a new version of This Is the Day. And what you said through most of the song was, this is the day. Kind of a catchy tune. And Jerry's dad, if you all remember Jerry's dad, well, he was sitting back there where Linda was. And he stood up, Leroux stood up and said, now, Richard, and I'm going, oh, Lord. He said, now, Richard, we all know that this is the day the Lord has made. But we don't have to keep saying it over and over and over again. And I just thought, what do you do after that? Y'all, anybody here remember that? Lord bless us all. Amen. This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
Oh,
this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen, Lord, we make a choice today.
Yes.
We choose to praise you and worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we got to go yesterday to a ministerial meeting. Jerry and I hadn't, except for that one we had here in March, we had not been to anything like that in a long time, And the Lord said, it's time to get back together. We went down to Jim and Connie Childs, and there were other ministers there, people. Only three of us were pastors. The rest of them had outreach ministries. I mean, you know what? One of them, you know what their outreach ministry was? They bought blankets for the homeless.
Among other things.
That was amongst some of the things, but I thought, now, who would have thought to do that? And I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, anybody can go find out how to get blankets to the homeless. And you just do it because it's there to do. Amen? Hallelujah.
I was buried. Who could carry that kind of weight?
Come on, church.
It was my tomb till I met you. I was buried, but not alive.
That's all right.
All my failures I tried to hide.
You ever done that, church?
It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Amen.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Now this is the catch, church. You know what?
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Let's do that bridge again. Are you ready, church? Come on.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. But when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, sometimes we can walk around with grave clothes on. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're just, it's just everything. This is on me, and this is on me, and you just, I don't know. You just feel like you're walking around wrapped up like Lazarus was, and you just need the Lord to call your name and say, Lazarus, what'd he say?
Forth.
Come forth.
Come
and
forth.
Sometimes you just need to look at yourself and say, Laverne, come forth. I got a come forth word this week. I'll share it. I didn't know when I was going to share it. Jerry said, what are you going to talk about today? I said, I don't know, but I got a word. And it said this from Isaiah 41. But you, Israel, are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice. Well, see, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm his first choice. I'm his first choice. Descendants of my good friend Abraham, I pulled you out from all over the world. I called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. And this really gets good. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Now, wait a minute. When you're in your grave clothes, you feel like you've been dropped, don't you? I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. So don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you. All right, let's just pull those grave clothes off. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that because our lives are in your hand. Amen.
Well, yesterday while we were down there, Laverne, we had a chance to share it. And Sister Connie looked at Laverne and said, Laverne, do you have anything to share? And she said,
no.
No. And I knew she had a scripture. Because we talked about going down there. She said, no. And it was a lady that we'd never met before. From, I forgot where she's from. They were from everywhere, from Paris, Tennessee to Columbia, Kentucky. And, but this was the first time we'd met these folks. And she spoke a word.
Amen.
To the group. But it was pointed more at us than than the rest of them. And she said everything that scripture said. And she finished, and I looked, turned around, learned, looked. I said, now do you have something to say? So, see, God gives you something. And you know, we used to sing what the world didn't give me this joy. The world didn't give me this joy. And the world can't take it away.
Oh, but the world didn't give me this joy.
The world didn't give me this joy. The world didn't give me this joy. And the world can't take it away. The world didn't give me this joy. The world didn't give me this joy. The world didn't give me this joy. And the world can't take it away.
He gave it to you.
Jesus gave me this joy. Jesus gave me this joy. Jesus gave me this joy. And the world can't take it away.
See, you don't ever mention a song. Don't go there. It'll come out. Amen. Glory to God. But you know, we don't have to worry today as we worship God. Amen. Hallelujah.
You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid.
Come on, there it is.
Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it. With him I know I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. So when your tests and trials, they seem to to get you down, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found. Remember, there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken,
come on,
just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it.
Worship him.
With him I know I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands.
Lord, we praise you. Just begin to speak to
Thank
him
you,
this
Lord
morning.
God.
Father God, we praise you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
So much for the mighty move of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you've removed the grave clothes off of us, Father
Thank
God,
you, Lord,
and you
God.
Called our names, and we came forth out of that grave. Lord God, and regardless
you,
of
Jesus.
The things going on around us, things that just doesn't
Thank
seem
you,
like
Lord.
Are going right, Father God, we still stand on your word. We command the mountains to move,
you,
the
Lord
walls
God.
To be knocked down. Amen. Glory
Thank
to
you,
God.
Jesus.
We worship and praise you today. Church, I want you to be seated. We're going to take up the offering. We're going to continue our worship. And this morning, we're going to sing that chorus again on this song. But Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. As the ushers come forward and we take up the offering, I thank you, Father God, for the people here in this church that give. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you still have us in the grips of your hands. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your mighty outpouring of your Spirit and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I know
that I can make it.
I know
that I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands.
With Jesus.
With Jesus I can take it.
With
him I know I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands.
Thank you,
Father God, we just praise you
Thank
so much.
You,
you know, we this next song, we opened it for the first time last week. And I praise God for this word, that the word of encouragement. You know, talking about worship in the Lord, there's two different things that we do here. When you praise God, you're decreeing and you're declaring the things that God has done for you. And that's praise. And that's fine. But when you get into real worship, you're singing to him. And you're magnifying and you're worshiping him. So there's a little difference. You know, sometimes, you know, some of the, I brought up on the hymns of the church. And they were declarations. They were doctrine. They were praise. There were a few, but not very many, were just real worship. They were a lot of declaration and praise. But you know, when we came into the time when we started singing worship songs and we started singing to God, it was new to me. I don't know about you, Bob, but the first time that I lifted my hands and told God I love you, I thought, who am I talking to? See, we've all been there to where it was new to us to lift our hands and to worship him. But you know, it's part of our foundation just to worship him. And it, you know, when you look around and the enemy will come at you and say, well, you know what's happening? Just exactly what's going on in there. What's happening in your church? What's happening in your life? What's happening in your family? Then you have to begin to believe and you begin to speak what you know is happening, whether you see it or not. And you go,
mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move.
You need something to move in your family.
We need a move.
Still believe in that word.
We need a move.
Believe it and say it again.
We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Start at the beginning about those mountains.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move.
Come on.
We need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Still being raised, and giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Say that one more time, church.
We need a move. We need a move.
Do it again now.
We need a move. We need a move.
Miracles happen. You ready?
Miracles happen when you move. Healing.
something is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. This is a move. 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 Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. This is a move.
See it happening in your life.
This is a move.
See God moving in your life today.
This is a move.
Those walls are being knocked down.
This is a move.
Those kids or grandkids that didn't want to listen, they got to listen.
This is a move. This is a move.
Those people at work are giving you a hard time.
This is a move.
God's going to move in your favor and your behalf.
This is a move. This is a move. This is a move.
Lord God Almighty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah. I've got to say something. Laverne and I, we've been in the ministry 48 years. And we have never walked through anything that's been as hard as the last few months. And basically because we took a stand on what we knew was right. And we're not hard-hearted people that just say, well, you know, so what? As a grandfather, my heart has been ripped out. As a father, my heart has been ripped out. But as a man of God, as a pastor, I had to stand and do what we knew had to be done. I mean, in the past when we've had situations and people have been involved in things and we've asked them, you know, you'll have to step down from what you're doing. We've had some people helping in classes that were living not the kind of lifestyle they were supposed to be living, and we've had to ask them to sit down. We best to ask some other people from on the praise and worship team if you're going to be what if you're going to do what you're doing, because you stand up there and you represent this church. And if I had stood up here and said, well, and now this is going to be real personal, okay? You just have to forgive me. If I just stood up here and said, well, I just want to tell y'all something. Our granddaughter has been caught in a situation, and y'all don't know what's going on. And I said, well, but you know, we really need her to play the piano. And after all, she is our granddaughter. So I just don't think we need to, you know, she needs to straighten up, but I just don't think we need to call her to account. What would it have done? What would it have done? How would you have felt about it? And you know, they made the choices they made. And I don't know what's going to be the end of it. God knows. I mean, we still have a family relationship, but it's like we're in two separate worlds now. We got our spiritual world, and we got our family world. And it's not that they've backslid and gone out and started doing stuff. They're not. They haven't changed the way they think about God. They haven't changed the way they believe. And we're trusting God to bring a righteous end. And all the way through, and I can't share some of the things that the Lord's spoken to me because they're too personal. And when he spoke them to me, I thought, wow, Lord, you're right. But one thing that he told me this morning, he reminded me of a scripture that says something, and I can't quote it exactly. I read it in Luke's account. Well, I read it in Matthew and Luke's account. And it goes like this. He who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than he loves me is not fit for my kingdom. Do I love my granddaughter? I love her with all my heart, and I would do anything in the world for her. And I still believe she's a good girl that made a mistake. But I have a higher calling even than I do to my family. And you know, we say, God, family, church, world. Or work, or whatever you want to put down there. But God, family, okay. Do I choose my family above my God, or do I say, God, I know what you said. I know what you expect. And it's not a matter of keeping the law. It's not a matter of grace and God not giving you grace. But you go out here and you walk out in this road out here in front of a semi truck coming down through there, and I don't care how much grace you have, that truck's probably going to hit you and splatter you all over the countryside. Grace or no grace, sure. When you wake up in a few minutes after that happens, you're going to be in heaven. But you suffered the consequences of it right then. And there are consequences to things that we do. And it doesn't nullify our relationship with God. It doesn't take away God's grace. It doesn't change a thing, except we have to have an accountability. And it's not that we're just, yeah, well, we're going to do it this way regardless. We had to make a choice, and it was not an easy choice. We had to make a choice over, God, do we stand and do it the way we know that it should be done, or do we give in because it's family? And just keep us in your prayers. And I know you, some of you have gone through some things and with your own families, and they've looked at you and basically told you to leave them alone. We'll do what we want to do. Quit trying to tell us to do what's right. Now, I know, of course, we still have a relationship with a granddaughter. And she still loves us, and we still love her. And the rest of the family. But there's an order to things, and the first order is, God, what do we do to be right with you? As hard as it is sometimes. And then I got to read something this morning. I'm almost tempted to tell Sister Shirley to let me preach, but I'm not going to do that. But I read something that was it's a section in the Spirit-filled Bible, and it's at the end of each book. Gives you several different things and points that's made in the particular book. And there was a whole section in there on that scripture that I quoted about loving your father and your mother. And one of the things it talks about is it's sometimes hard. Following God brings division sometimes. But we don't have a choice if we're going to honor Jesus Christ. We don't follow a law, but we have committed to a person. We married Jesus. When we accepted him into our life and became one with him, we married him. That's what Ephesians says. Paul told the Ephesians that. The relationship between Christ and the church is like the relationship between a husband and a wife. And if I'm in a relationship with him, and I step out of line and do something that I know he doesn't want me doing, if it was Laverne and I, and I decided, well, you know, there's a woman over here. She's rather pretty. I'm going to see about what I can. And then I come back and I say, well, Laverne, I just want to tell you something I did. She said, well, that's all right. I'm married to you. I love you. Just don't worry about it. She might not leave me, but I'll tell you what, I'll get some information from her. And I'll get some instruction. What do you think you were doing? You know, I know, just in a moment of weakness. Sure, everybody can have a moment of weakness. But those are the things that we have to rely upon the Spirit of God inside us working to help us overcome and to be what we're called to be. The blood of Jesus Christ on through our veins makes us like him. And anything that we do that's contrary to what he would do, you know, the thing we people, I don't know if it's still wearing or not, what would Jesus do, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I know that he lived a perfect life and none of us are going to be able to do it. But every time we need to do something and it's a questionable activity, what would Jesus do? He's living inside of me. Is he going to enjoy this as much as I am? But we have an accountability. We have an accountability as pastors to stand before you and present to you a God that loves you, a God that you can't perform for to get him to love you. He's going to love you, and all he wants us to do is love him in return and look to him as our Savior. And let him live his life through us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Paul said. It's a word of God. And we need to be able to stand up and echo it in our own lives. And I got to thinking about someone. Well, Laverne and I, we dated for 2.5 years. Did I physically get excited during that 2.5 years when I was with her? Yeah. But you know what I did in those 2.5 years? I did what I knew was right. Not what I felt like, but what I knew was right. And we've talked about it, and she said, one of the reasons, she said, I trusted you. I knew I could trust you. And we just have things we got to face, and we got to get through them. But sometimes they leave a devastation in the wake of it for a while, and that's what we're walking through right now. But it's going to be all right. God's going to bring us through it.
I want you to stand, and we're just going to worship the Lord. This old worship song is Let the Sweet Aroma. You know, the aroma that goes up before the Lord in our worship. And this is our time to honor God right now as we worship Him. As the Bible says, it's like the smoke from a sacrifice that goes up toward heaven. That as we worship Him, it's a sweet aroma to God.
Let the sweet aroma of worship fill this room. Let it rise before the Father like a fragrant sweet perfume. Let our song of praise be pleasing and our sacrifice consumed. As the sweet aroma of worship fills this room, let the sweet aroma of worship fill this room. Let it rise before the Father like a fragrant sweet perfume. Let our song of praise be pleasing and our sacrifice consumed as the sweet aroma of worship fills this room.
You know, we go, be glorified, be glorified,
be
in our church.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified.
Let the sweet aroma.
Let the sweet aroma of worship fill this room. Let it rise before the Father like a fragrant sweet perfume. Let our song of praise be pleasing and our sacrifice consumed as the sweet aroma of worship fills this room.
Thank you, Lord God. We praise you and magnify you today, Father, for who you are. That you're the Lord of all. You're the Lord of the skies. You're the Lord of the seas.
Thank you,
Lord.
You're
the Lord of us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss.